The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Showtime. The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
David saying Gabe and Brad Nortman are now mortal pink eye enemies.
Oh, like, I used to like Brad.
Peggy, we gotta talk. What is it about me that you find so offensive?
You seem to be with a lot of men.
What?
And if I end up missing this trip because of him, like, we're going to have to do something.
Germ warfare.
What's that?
I don't know, but we're going to figure it out.
Sounds like a federal offense.
Good day. Oh, all right. You think I've got germs? I'll give you some germs.
Biochemical warfare.
That's what I was thinking. Yes.
Illegal. Yeah. Geneva Convention. There is a convention for it.
How about some for your keyboard, huh? How about that? Oh, how about for your stapler? That's good, isn't it?
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All Studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
Running around, she wants to ride, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They make the plans, we sit and count our chairs.
Our guy Joshy had a bad weekend.
Oh, Baruba.
Chewy's back in studio.
I am. It's much easier here.
Oh, you think? So much easier. Everything's easier.
Yes.
Except
getting up.
Gabe is not with us this week. He is golfing in Vegas, but Joshy had a bad weekend.
Talk to me, Goose.
Yeah, I realized I don't got it anymore. That was my biggest takeaway.
When did you lose it?
Don't know, but I don't have it.
You know what would have helped with that is if we had to renew the athlete card every year. We would know
that in TSA
when you lost it.
I could safely say mine's expired.
Okay.
I was playing some wiffle ball over the weekend. Now, going into this, I thought it was going to be just like get some friends together, have fun, nothing too serious. And I showed up and it was a competitive game. And things got out of hand. I used to credit myself because I've played softball, dodgeball, those things as an adult. And I always managed not to get hurt because I'm not diving for things. I'm not necessarily, if it's a close play, I'm just going to let the play happen. Well, running from second to third, I felt a pop in the lower part of my leg. And now, if you watch sports, you know a pop in the back of the lower leg, you immediately start thinking Achilles.
Well, especially lately when we saw Rodgers and the thing just reverbed, and then we saw Kirk Cousins, and you know, once we saw Rodgers, then every time a guy had that happen, we were like, boom, Achilles.
Yeah.
We all became Doogie Howser MD, where we were like, that's an Achilles.
But second to third in wiffle ball is probably what, 15 feet?
20 right? Maybe. It's a
20?
Short
okay.
distance.
I'm just setting the picture.
Yes, and it happened when I pushed off. So basically, there's ceilings, walls in play. It's indoor. And the ball can ricochet, which means it's live. So basically, I didn't think I was going to need to run, and then I needed to. So I pushed off, likely on my toe in a weird way, and about step one was a pop. And I don't know if you guys have experienced the pop in the leg at all.
Have not.
But it is terrifying.
I did tear my ACL. That was a pop in the knee.
Yeah.
But the crazy thing about the ACL, Chew, did you ever tear an ACL? No,
no,
right?
No.
The crazy thing about the ACL is it hurts immediately, right?
Yeah.
Shooting pain. But then kind of wears off a little.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you're like, oh.
I think I'm fine.
I'm good. I can do some stuff.
Did you know you did it right away, though?
Well, I remember the pop.
Yeah.
And then I was like, same thing. It got real hot, hurt. But then you sat for a few minutes and it was like, I think I'm good. Yeah. Went right back to doing what I was doing.
Oh.
Right back to it. I had an ACL tear for a year, 2 years.
Without
three.
Knowing it?
No. I didn't know it because I hadn't gone to the doctor about it. I was
that's
just
a good
like,
way to avoid it.
Yeah. Ignorance, as they say, is bliss.
I tore my calf and actually in pregame and they thought I was lying. I remember it like as yesterday. We were playing Tennessee. I think it was the last game of the year, and they had to bring in sand because the grass was just destroyed. So it was like running on the beach. So I was just in warm-ups trying to get loose, and like Josh, he felt a pop in my calf, and I'm like, that's not good.
Wait, why would they think you were lying? Did you have a history of lying about injuries?
There was the jet ski, but no. But I mean, it was pregame. It was pregame.
Like, how the hell do you hurt yourself?
In pregame, I'm like, well, we're running on the beach. So I tried going two plays, couldn't do it. So typically they don't MRI. They do now. They MRI everything. But this is probably 97 where they didn't MRI everything. So they decide to MRI my calf and there's a 3-inch tear in the back of it. So I'm like,
yeah,
suck it.
Yeah, I wasn't lying. How embarrassed are you, Joshy?
Extremely. Especially when you're with like 12 other guys and everyone's like, hey, you okay? And you're like, yeah, I mean, I'm fine. Now that I've dispelled the Achilles or anything major, I just have like a calf strain. It's definitely a tear because I can feel the two locations where it did
split.
Separate. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
that hurts though, doesn't it?
It's
like a knife.
Yes, exactly.
Yes,
it hurts.
Exactly,
it hurts
like
bad.
A knife.
Like and right now?
No. Now, like, pain meds and icing and elevating and all that, the only pain I really get is when I, like, try and push off it too hard.
So,
like,
can you walk?
Yeah. It's ugly. It's slow.
It's ugly.
And I also learned, because I've never really had anything like this, I partially tore my MCL once, but that was crutches, and I kind of just got through it. When you have a limp, you're using different muscles, so yeah. Those are now sore. So it's just a whole disaster. I did stay out the rest of the day, though, pat on the back to me. I didn't call it a quits after that because it was an all-day type of extravaganza.
You couldn't have been much use to the team, though.
Oh, no, I didn't play. I physically couldn't play.
So in said wiffle ball game, were there beverages involved?
Yes.
All right, there you go. Dehydrates you.
Yeah. Yeah. It would have been smart to stretch.
To be fair, I almost did text you after you said that this happened saying, well, if you weren't an alcoholic.
I had only had one beer at
yeah,
that point.
Yeah, sure you did. What, maybe to brush two. Your teeth in the morning? Or?
But yeah, there's nothing. It's wiffle ball.
Yeah, like, which is awesome.
It's very fun. But if it was anything, like if I was playing pickup basketball and did this, I'd be like, yeah, that's, you know, that can happen. But, like, wiffle ball is a kid's game, even though adults play it and it gets competitive. It's like, I was embarrassed to tell my girlfriend.
No sympathy?
None. Zero.
Sounds like mine.
How did it become so competitive, though? If you went into it thinking it was just going to be a fun afternoon of you guys kind of, you know,
well, they
knew screwing
that.
Around.
I was, I'm a tertiary member of this friend group. So I was brought into this plan late. But like I've gone to this location before and done the same thing with like Gabe and Pratik and all the people around here. And all it was like you're throwing the ball around, you're trying to hit home runs, nothing more than that. This was full-fledged nine-inning baseball wiffle ball game with people sprinting, diving.
Wiffle ball will do that to you.
Yeah.
Just get the best out of you because you feel like a kid again.
Uh-huh. And the worst thing is you don't want to be the guy who's loafing between second and third. By the way, I was safe at third. I did make it there despite tearing my calf on the way.
One could argue.
Did you go
didn't.
Down?
One could argue.
I did not go down.
You didn't go down. Huh?
I basically
impressive.
Ran to third and then ran off the field and just told them someone else needs to run.
What are you doing if you show up to a game thinking it's all fun, thinking you're just enjoying some pops, and then all of a sudden it's like hardcore competitive? There's a part of me that's like, I would love to say that I would... I'm good. Somebody else can take my spot, but I'm very competitive. I'm sure I would start going.
What's
hard
the most competitive thing you do now?
Life.
Okay. But I mean, are you racquetball? Are you tennis?
I'm competitive with everything, Chew. Like when I go to the airport, I want to make sure I get through TSA pre-check faster and more efficiently than anyone else in the line. Like it's a sickness is what it is.
Yeah. I mean, the most strenuous thing I will do now, because my Achilles are terrible, is pickleball. And sometimes I get a little nuts at pickleball, because it's stop and start and go, and I'm like, you're pushing the envelope
playing with fire.
Here. Yeah.
When you think about the most embarrassing sports injuries, and I don't know if this is fair or not, but I always go back to Jonathan Lucroy. who like cut
with
his
the suitcase
hand with the suitcase, yeah. Right? Like where we were going, wait, what happened? Oh, suitcase. My wife dropped a suitcase on my hand.
Hmm.
Ah, interesting. Feels like that didn't happen, but okay, we'll take your word for it. We'll MRI it like Chew with the calf.
With the calf, yeah.
LuCroy's the one that definitely comes to mind, but for whatever reason, baseball seems to have the strangest amount of injuries where it's like, I mean, there's like people filleting fishes that cut their hands.
Oh,
there's...
avocado hand? Wasn't there a guy a couple years ago who had the avocado hand?
Yeah.
Who was the pitcher that cut their hand playing with their drone? Like the blades from their drone cut their finger?
I don't remember who it was, but yeah, there was definitely a guy. I want to look up baseball player avocado hand.
I've got a list here. Anthony DeScalfani dropped a piano bench on his toe, causing him to miss time.
Yeah. Well, Gabe almost lost a finger.
Micah Johnson from the White Sox is the guy who had the avocado hand. He was removing an avocado pit. Foomp! Went right through the skin of the avocado and him.
Yeah.
That's a bad one, too. What else you got?
I remember Irving Fryer. You remember Irving Fryer?
No.
Played for the Patriots just right before they played the Bears in 85.
Okay.
Said he stabbed himself in the thigh with a knife, but it was turned out it was actually his wife.
Yeah, that tracks.
Aroldis Chapman had to go on the 15-day DL because he got an infection from a tattoo.
Oh, ugh. Yee, that gave me the jeeks right away.
Yeah.
I got a list here as well. Maybe we're looking at the same list. Carl Pavano had a freak accident while shoveling snow at his home on January 12, 2013. He slipped on the ice and fell into the shovel handle,
ooh,
which jammed into his midsection. He had lacerated his spleen.
Mm.
Yikes. Max Scherzer got bit by his dog that cut his finger and missed time from that.
Mm.
The worst part is just like trying to be the weekend hero. That's the part of me that hurts my ego the most. Like, what am I doing sprinting?
Yeah, but now you know.
But I did know. But I still let myself fall in the trap because the competitive juices get going. And next thing you know, you're full out sprinting, trying to beat out a ball to first base.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, is there any social situation where you could say, hey, guys, this got a lot more competitive than I was expecting it to. I am not in shape enough to play this game because as much as I would like to hear someone have that conversation and say that out loud, I don't think anybody is, Joshy.
No,
I don't
never.
Think there's a single human being who has already gone into the arena, right, if you will, and then is going to go, actually, this is going to be too much for me. I don't want to get hurt, so I'm out.
I think the only way for me to reasonably avoid it is, or probably most of us, because I think a lot of people have the same competitive nature, is just simply not to go. That's the only way I could avoid any of that because, and let's be honest here, my injury might be the most long lasting, but I wasn't the only one to roll an ankle or grab a hammy. Like it was happening all over the place because as we all as happened, none of us are like who at our age is except for people in extremely good shape are doing like flat out sprints anymore.
Well, have you seen Gabe and his guys play basketball?
Yeah,
Here's
another thing that hurts is I've picked on those guys because there's been some major injuries in those pickup games.
Yeah.
And it's like, how are you going that hard? But I fell victim to it myself. And it was wiffle ball, not basketball.
I've said this before, but one of the most unusual injuries I've ever witnessed was when I was covering the Clemson-Syracuse football game. Clemson was one of the top teams in the country. They were playing at the Carrier Dome. Syracuse won the game. Big shock, big upset. So a lot of the Syracuse fans did what? Storm the field.
Rush the field, yeah.
Problem with the Carrier Dome is the field is lower than the stands by about 6 feet. So people were literally jumping out of the stands onto the field. And guess what? Broken ankle. Like over and over again, right? Just and because they're fans, they're not high level athletes,
right?
Leaping from this height. And is that embarrassing or is that sort of a badge of honor? You were about to rush the field because your team just beat Clemson, the number one team in the country. They were top three or top four at the time. I'm not exactly sure. But either way, is that an embarrassing story? Now you're crutching around for the next 6 months because you wanted to celebrate with the team on the field.
Yeah, that's.
Youth and exuberance, I think, plays a factor there.
Where and alcohol?
Can, yeah. Where
that's not that far down.
But, I mean, the thought of having to have like any surgery or doctor visits because of any of this stuff is like, it's real embarrassing. And it's not someplace you want to be where, like, I was imagining myself having to be taken to the hospital by my significant other and being like, hey, I might have just completely blown my Achilles, yeah. And here's another year of surgery and rehab.
Well, that's the thing. If it had been the Achilles, you for sure were going to the emergency, yes. room or Orthopedic Associates of Wisconsin's, correct. ASAP clinic. David Price left a preseason game with neck spasms when he was drying his neck with a towel. You guys, can you imagine?
Well, I got a good one with my son, who's in Barcelona. Decided to go skiing in the Alps. In the Alps, right? The only experience he's had skiing, is Lake Geneva.
So he went.
Lake Geneva in the Alps. Yeah, so, okay.
So I'm laughing because someone here in this room also tried to do that. I don't want to name names, but it rhymes with Sten, Mata. And we went to Austria for the Special Olympics. I haven't skied since high school. And I fell down the Alps. And I'm lucky to be alive because I just was like, poof, 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 poof. My girlfriend was like, oh my God, you okay?
And was that the last run of the day?
And it certainly was. And the next question out of her mouth was, when's the last time you skied?
Yes.
I think you gotta alert your partner there. If you're going skiing with someone,
that's on you. Yeah. Well, I've skied Ausblick. It's 700 feet
and
up.
To your point, it was Wilmot Mountain that I went skiing. You know, in high school. We got a big show today. 800-990-3776 if you want to weigh in on anything happening on the show. Embarrassing injuries. We're going to try to help Joshy through this one. He tore his calf playing wiffle ball over the weekend. Do you have any embarrassing injuries that might make him feel better about his torn calf playing wiffle ball? 800-990-3776. Plus, free agency. The legal tampering period starts today. We should start to see some moves around noon, probably a little before noon, actually. Packers make some moves as well. Campbell is out. Kind of thought that was going to happen. We'll break that down as well. Plus, the dreaded reply all. Guess who fell victim to the dreaded reply all? All that and more coming up on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy this morning.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
How do you get to 10 in NFL in the football game? How do you do that?
You can have 5 safeties.
That's a great point.
Which would also be a great endorsement for Derek Carr.
2 field goals, 2 safeties.
2 field goals, 2
also
safeties.
Also a great endorsement for the quarterback. Yes. Continue. What else do we have?
On 94.5 ESPN.
Clint weighing in on our ESPN Milwaukee talk and text line, 800-990-3776. I popped one of my hamstrings in bar league softball after 6 weeks when it felt good enough to run again. I popped the other one.
Mm-hmm.
Tell you what, this is going to be a long rehab process for me, meaning I'm not going to be doing anything competitive until I'm certain I'm back.
But even then, when you go back, won't you be playing a little bit hesitant?
Oh, most certainly.
Yeah, that's the
And
big thing.
I'll be more thorough when it comes to stretching.
Beforehand.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
Also have Mark weighing in the 262. I know everyone says that. Oh, I'm going to stretch more. I'm going to stretch more. No way.
I get another beer. I got to stretch.
I think the amount of fear and panic felt in that, let's say, 60 to 90 seconds after when I thought I was going to have a major surgery. I think I've scared myself bleepless.
Sure,
is the way to put
but
it.
Human nature is that you will forget about that pretty quickly.
I don't know. I believe in myself. I'm betting on me.
I said the same thing after I had my first child. I was like,
I'm done.
Never doing that bleep again because it hurts.
Yeah.
And then you're like, well, I don't remember it being that bad. And then I did it again and was like, nope, yep, still that bad.
Yes, so, maybe worse.
Funny how I had tricked myself into believing that it wasn't as bad as it actually was.
If you tore your ACL now, would you get it fixed? I wouldn't. Why?
Really?
Knock on wood.
Yeah, really? Just leave it alone?
I don't do anything. I mean, right. I could let pickleball go by the wayside.
Yeah. I mean, I never fixed my collarbone. I've still got the broken collarbone. It's all displaced and whatnot. Just ugly. Just like you know, Quasimodo back
How'd you
there.
Do that again?
Fell off a bike.
Okay.
Yeah, cycling.
As going, an adult?
Yeah, it was like 13 years ago now, but yes, yeah. I was an adult. Not mentally, because one could argue, still haven't hit that threshold. Mark weighing in saying, I tore my meniscus playing hacky sack. Keep your reactions coming in to the injuries.
Yeah, what's worse, hacky sack or wiffle ball?
For sure, hacky sack. That's like famously supposed to be like low impact, yeah. low effort.
Stoner
like,
game.
You're not just, a lot of moving.
Yeah, you're just standing there and... knocking it around. 800-990-3776. Want to get to some of this Packers news this weekend. It is the legal tampering period starting today. That's just always such a funny phrase. It's like they knew that tampering was happening and they were like, well, since we know it's happening, let's at least make it legal to tamper, because free agency doesn't start for another couple of days, but it's the legal tampering period. So we will probably hear about a number of deals today pending physical as teams get their ducks in a row. And big news this weekend, Dan Graziano and Jeremy Fowler from ESPN are reporting that the Packers are expected to be a high spender at the safety position. That information, Joshy, was not a huge shock because we have talked about this a number of times regarding the safety position. But two, the names that were mentioned, Xavier McKinney, who we have talked about before, Cameron Curl,
yep,
and Quandre Diggs. I got to be honest, I don't know a ton about Cameron Curl, but Xavier McKinney has been on my radar, in the middle of my radar screen, for weeks and weeks and weeks, ever since we heard that he probably wasn't going to go back to the Giants. Now, we thought at a moment that he might be franchise tagged or transition tagged, but it looks like the Packers could be a team that is knocking on the door trying to make that happen. Your reaction to that information?
As long as the money's not out of control. 13, maybe 14. I'm sure there's going to be other bidders. But there's a lot to choose from. You know, this guy fits because he's young and they'd probably want him around for a little while. So I could see them getting this done as long as the money doesn't get out of control.
I don't
see them being major players in free agency, though. I mean, you got to do Jordan Love's got to get done. I mean, they are freeing up some money. They will get money with Bakhtiari, but this is my fear. I don't want them to go all in this year. Sprinkle a few pieces in, save for next year, and when the window starts to shut 2 or 3 years from now, then you make that San Francisco push, you know, like they did with McCaffrey and a bunch of even who was the DN that they signed this year? Young. Even though that wasn't
Chase Young,
he didn't turn out to be a great player, but that, you know, at the time, that was a pretty big move.
There was one good signal we saw over the weekend, and that was the Bears signing, what's his name, Kevin Byard, who was an all-pro at the safety position. Now, he was traded and then kind of just dumped by the Eagles, but 2 years, $15 million. So that's telling me that the market is not right
as
now,
high as we think.
Well, yeah. That's because it's flooded, as Chewy was saying.
Correct.
There's too many options. There are going to be guys out there who just want to land a gig.
Right.
And so they're going to be willing to take less money if it's the first offer on the table. I sent this to you guys. It was somebody tabulated it this weekend. The free agent safety market is absolutely insane. Xavier McKinney, Kyle Duggar, Justin Simmons, Cameron Curl, Eddie Jackson, Kevin Byard, Julian Blackman, Geno Stone, Micah Hyde, Jordan Poyer, C.J. Gardner-Johnson, Quandre Diggs, Jamal Adams, Darnell Savage, Jeremy Chinn. I mean, and there are still five more on this list.
Yeah.
On this list. And that's not an exhaustive list. So the what was the line I always tell you guys that Bill Polian told Dario when he was at ESPN? Just because you're thirsty for lemonade, don't bite a lemon. Like, you don't have to in this situation. You don't have to, like, force the issue. You got plenty of options out there to take your time, get a guy who fits your system and who can do all of the things. Now, not every guy on that list it fits that bill. Not every guy on that list is the safety that Halfley described, although we have joked about how there are only a few of those anyway, in Ed Reed and Troy Polamalu and some of the Hall of Famers at the safety position, maybe Leroy Butler. But beyond that, it's very obvious that they have prioritized this safety position, Chew, and that's the right call, right?
It is. They probably have. All they want to do is upgrade, I believe. Anything better than Darnell Savage. So they probably have five guys. The nice thing about McKinney is you really wouldn't have to draft anybody because he's young. and he would be around as long as they're happy
Same
with
thing
him.
Same goes for Curl too. He's 24 years
yeah,
old.
Yeah, they
as
would
well.
Be happy. So that would take away a problem. Now, if that doesn't work out, then they go to number three, number four, who might be a little up in age, but the money's right. I think all they want to do is upgrade that position because from what we hear from Halfley, that position is very important
to
him
in this
defense.
I would still draft a safety, by the way. I would get
Yeah, because you need another one.
They need depth in the for the defensive back positions. Mm-hmm. So I would still draft a safety. Do you think they draft a cornerback as well, Joshy?
I think a lot of it depends on what they do with Keyshawn Nixon, who reportedly they do want back. I believe that was some of the nuggets we saw over the weekend. But corner is kind of one of those positions where I think just as many bites at the apple, to take a term from the Brewers, you just want a lot of those guys because you play a lot of them and they can help on special teams. So I don't think, unless something goes wrong in the Nixon market, that it's going to be even a day one or day two type thing for them.
And I think the Packers are a team that prefer not to overspend. And that sounds simplistic. It sounds like, yeah, who prefers to overspend? No, there are absolutely franchises out there that will mm-hmm. overpay for a player. I wonder if this is an instance, though, where you do. And overpay is not the right word in this sense if you think he's your guy. You could look at this exhaustive list that I just rattled off at the safety position, and you could eliminate, let's just throw a number out there, 9 or 10 of those guys because they don't fit. Their style of play doesn't fit, or maybe they're too old. You want to stay in the young space. So you start eliminating those guys, and you go, really? The only guy who we really, really want is McKinney. Let's just say that. And McKinney's asking price, too. I think you've mentioned 12, 13. I know, Josh, you were just talking about the Bears guy and how that may affect the market. I don't know. You got the money. If you think that guy's a difference maker at the position, now, Chu, your argument to that has always been, is safety a difference maker? Can safety be a difference maker? It seems to have been devalued across the league.
Well, that's why there was so much cover two. Everyone's playing cover two. I think they're pivoting from that. And that changes every couple of years.
But isn't it better to be ahead of the curve on that than behind the curve?
Yeah. But with McKinney, you said draft another guy, but they can draft a guy down the line that they can develop. They don't have to spend a second round pick where he's got to play
right away.
It's all about just knocking pieces down. That's why Armstead from San Francisco said they may become available. They're set at that position. You need three. They got three. So now you need to, I said the break glass in case of emergency. You got to address the running back position next. Because based upon what we saw last year, we think Aaron Jones is going to play 9 to maybe 12 games. And A.J. Dillon is not the guy. It's a totally different offense when he is the lead running back. And much like the safety market, the running back market is flooded as well. And I don't think those guys are going to get as much money as they think. I mean, what if Derrick Henry becomes available for $7 million a year?
I'm out on Derrick Henry.
Not even playing halftime over the...
I think he's over the hill.
It'd be nice to see, though, actually a big guy that can go for more than 3.8 yards.
I believe it was Matthew Berry who had the report that the Packers want Jones back. We all know that. Dillon, not an option, not coming back. And they were okay with Emmanuel Wilson and wanted him to have a shot, which I have questions about that being your second back. And then they said day three pick for to fill. So Emmanuel Wilson, a day three pick plus Aaron Jones, seems to be a potential outcome.
So no Saquon Barkley, no Jonathan Taylor, as they were rumored to be interested in trading for him earlier this year. Are you said they're set at defensive line? You
think D-end, Russians. Oh, okay. They got three of them. I mean, they're break glass in case of emergency. There's, I think they're fine there. They don't need to go out and get an Armstead. Interior, yeah. Maybe go get a guy there or draft one early. But there are other holes that they have to fill.
Do you think?
I mean, the linebacker position with getting rid of Campbell, you need bodies there.
Oh, yeah. Cupboard is bare.
Yeah, you need bodies.
Because we've talked about Quay Walker and we have talked about Isaiah. Why is my
McDuffie?
McDuffie.
Immediately my brain was like, nope, not going to give you that information. It was sitting right there. I could see it forming and it was just like, poof, gone. But yes, that is obviously a spot of need as well. Do you think, Chu, I'm putting you on the spot here, that we will hear that the Packers are making a move or pending physical by the end of today or by the end of tomorrow in this legal tampering period? Will we hear that the Packers are attached to, connected to a player in free agency?
Yeah, I would think so. Safety, linebacker, one of those guys coming in for a physical.
I just don't think you can wait, Josh. And maybe that's because, like, I'm just like salivating for news. I'm salivating for something. I'm salivating for there to be some type of movement in this space. But I think if you're the Packers, you have to go out and at least address one of those needs.
With the need being so glaring and apparent, and the safety having like one guy coming back for sure that's on the roster and signed, you can't lose out. Now, you don't want to be the biggest spender because that always seems to lead to the wrong thing. But if you can lock down Xavier McKinney, and, you know, he's paid towards the top of the safeties, but he's your guy and you have multi, like 24 years old and pick 36, like that's a guy who can still get better. He has still a lot of room to grow at 24 years old. That, like, why not make that investment and say, hey, we filled that spot. We don't have to think about it now until maybe draft day when we're just adding some depth.
Yeah, but you might have to overpay because there's a lot of teams out there with a lot more money than Green Bay.
Yeah, you might have to, but like you basically have to weigh it. Does it make sense to our roster? I think you can justify it pretty easily that, yes, this makes sense. This locks up a very big position of need.
And thank you to Kay Adams, who actually had Xavier McKinney on her show last week, who asked him specifically about the Packers and reuniting with a guy he had worked with at Alabama, Derek Ainsley, who is now in Green Bay. McKinney did not give any tips. He did not give any hints. He did not say whether or not he had heard or if he was interested or anything like that, because that would be actual tampering, right, Joshy?
Yeah, you can't do that. Yeah, that was the guy who actually recruited him. So not even just a coach. It was like someone, those relationships, as we know in college football, your recruiter, you got a good connection there.
Well, and you always want to prove that you are on the right track.
Yes.
You always want to prove that you have a good eye for talent. And, you know, again, at 24 years old, it's not like McKinney has had a fall off where a guy would be like, you know what, I was in on him then, but I'm not in on him now. He's likely still in on him. 800-990-3776, asking you to weigh in on a number of things this morning. One, give me your embarrassing injuries. Joshy popped his calf playing wiffle ball over the weekend. We got a lot of people who are trying to make you feel better, buddy. We'll get to some of that reaction as we roll on here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. You guys remember me talking about being at the State Fair this past summer and seeing a sauna. I know we've all been at the Expo Center before and thought, ooh, I kind of would like to have one of those, but it's usually probably a new set of pans, right? Well, for me, it was a Good Health sauna. So what did I do? Made the purchase. Went ahead and got one. Now it's sitting in my basement. And last night, guys, after a horrific day of travel on Saturday, the very best thing I could do was sit in my Good Health sauna for 45 minutes, watching the Academy Awards and just decompressing, detoxing from the weekend. And it's working in a number of ways. My skin feels better. I've got extra energy. I'm sleeping better. And I'm telling you guys, if you are in the space for longevity and wellness, a infrared sauna from Good Health Sauna is the way to go. Go to their website, goodhealthsaunas.com. Very easy to remember. They don't want to overcomplicate it for you. Goodhealthsaunas.com. Check out their inventory. See what they have. See if it sounds like something that would work for you. Tell them Jen from Jen, Gabe, and Chewy sent you when you go to goodhealthsaunas.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
What we need is a chart. And every week, we take the shirtless picture of Chew, and we move that to wherever the prediction is of how many wins that they
six,
have.
Six.
Eight.
Eight. Six.
Seven.
Seven. I think that's how it goes now, right?
Eight, and they six, lost, and he's seven, saying, five, 309.
On 94.5 ESPN.
I, for one, am thrilled with how many of our loyal listeners are trying to make Joshy feel better about his embarrassing injury from over the weekend. We were talking initially about professional athletes and some of the weirder injuries that they sustain. So Alex weighing in on our YouTube page saying Ricky Henderson left ice on too long and got frostbite. I got a story about frostbite I want to get to as the show rolls on. But loyal listeners, I mean, popping off on the text line. Let's see, Bill weighing in saying, I broke my rib last year having a long jump competition with my kids in the living room. Greg weighing in, saying, in high school, I sprained my ankle playing basketball in the pool. Oof. Came down on the side of my ankle, kept sliding down on it because of the lack of friction. That's Greg in Germantown. Linda from the Falls saying her husband tore his calf, tripping over the dog, walking up the stairs.
I think that's a win for me.
At least it wasn't tripping over your new dog.
Exactly.
There are a lot of people, and there are a few here I have to read before I can read them on the air. Dan weighing in saying, I tore both my ACLs over the last 5 years playing pickup basketball. So Dan did not learn from the first ACL tear playing pickup basketball. And the ACL tear for a layman is about a year still.
Yeah.
It's a full year. Now you're seeing a lot faster at the NFL level, right, at the professional levels. They've got that round-the-clock training. They're actually doing things to improve the ligament while they're sleeping now.
When I grew up and was a kid, ACLs didn't seem to happen all that often. Now they happen all the time.
There's been studies on that.
Happened and they just didn't get it repaired?
I think there's a lot of that because I've known people who didn't know they tore their ACL for multiple years. And then finally they were like, something's not right here.
Because it's just the lateral movement, right? Yeah. If you're just walking or running, most of the time you're not cutting.
Right.
So you don't need to have that. It's the solid, right? What's the word I'm looking for? It's not structure.
The socket?
Stability. Word is stability. It's not the stability with the lateral movement.
I grew up, 6 kids in my family. 5 boys, 1 girl, all athletes, not one surgery. 5 kids I have now, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 surgeries. I mean, what the hell? What's going on?
So
here?
Let me ask you a question, though. When you were a kid, weren't you doing like I always talk about farm strength?
Yeah.
Like you're just out there doing things every day that basically build up strength across your body. Does that make sense? Maybe that's a way that you were protected from some of these fluky injuries.
Does supplementation have something to do with it? Kids are lifting much more now than back in the day. Are their muscles getting too big for their ligaments?
But again, you were lifting. You just weren't lifting weights.
Yes.
You were doing things around the yard.
Which could probably be more considered core work, probably.
I think the leading theory right now, because this is a big issue, especially in baseball, is overworking and overtraining of those. So it contributes, lifting weights and playing. People play sports more year-round, and they train harder doing them than they did in the past, which I think is contributing. Tommy John surgery is, pretty common for baseball players at almost every level at this point. And a lot of it is just,
Joshy, who don't pitch nearly as much as they did.
They just
30 years ago.
They just pitch more frequently and train harder. Whereas some of those guys back in the day, they just go out and pitch and that was all they did. A lot of these kids are constantly training and specializing in things that are harming them.
Right. And that's using the same muscles over and over and over again. Whereas before, when you were doing multiple sports, those muscles got a break because you pivoted to something else. And then those muscles got worked a lot. But then the season ended and you pivoted to something else. And it seems like that's the big argument for not specializing. But we've talked about this. It's not realistic. I've talked forever about how if you don't start at a certain age in these sports, you get left behind. You're too far behind to make up the gap unless you're an extraordinary athlete, in which case you would have been doing the thing earlier anyway. It's a weird space that we're in. I talk to parents all the time when I'm at my kids' sporting events, and they talk about how, no, we're not doing the competitive gymnastics for the 6-year-old. No, we're not traveling around. We're not going to Detroit. We're not going to Chicago for competitive meets at 6 years old. And it's if she has a future in gymnastics, you got to start right now. You can't expect at 8 to pop in and be like, hey, can we hang? Because you can't.
Yeah.
You can't hang. 800-990-3776. Let me get to more of this reaction. When I was 50 playing hoops with my brothers, I tore my ACL, one leg going one way, knee going the other. I knew right away I was screaming at the top of my lungs. My brothers called traveling on me. No mercy. That from Tim in the 414.
Tough group.
Let's see. There's a couple other ones here. Last year, I played dodgeball under the lights at Fort Wilderness. I was the third I drilled a line drive and immediately tore my groin. I continued to play, told the guys I could cover at second base. I also tore my Achilles playing competitive co-ed soccer 3 years ago. To top it off, I re-tore my Achilles 20 weeks later at work. So he got the Achilles fixed, and then he re-tore it several months
What's the age you
later.
Should stop?
Stop what? This is what we're
Being
talking about.
Being competitive.
But Joshy didn't know it was going to be competitive. That's the thing. He
But now he knows, though.
Right. Well, that's exactly. So.
Now, how old are you?
35.
35. That's it. Like, Gabe shouldn't be playing basketball.
No. And the thing is, you want to be active, and you want to, but just don't compete. That's basically the thing.
Yes.
That's where things go wrong is when you do the rec league stuff and like a game gets more intense. That's exactly what happened to me. I should have, looking back on it, I should have just said, I'll show up after the games is when it was where I should have done.
You could have never known, though. You needed this weekend's experience to now know that you are past your prime.
Yes.
Because otherwise, the ego is going to convince you every single day, every single week that you can still hang.
The ego and the booze.
It was one beer, okay?
Sure. No, but you were spared. You were given a warning.
Uh-huh.
It could have been the Achilles, could have been the ACL. Now you should know, shut it down.
Let me tell you, warning received. The amount of fear for that time after suffering the injury was enough to set me straight.
This is unbelievable. It is just like a flood of reaction on the ESPN Milwaukee talk and text line.
But I got my notice because I'd play softball with my buddies after I was done playing, maybe 2-3 years. I was playing left field, and it was a competitive softball league. And I was playing left field, went to field a ball, and stepped in a hole and dislocated my hip very quickly. Uh-huh. I could feel it go bump, bump. And I was like, after that, I'm like, what am I doing?
Yeah.
I've already reached the pinnacle of my athletic career. I really don't need that ribbon.
Yeah. And then you fell off the whatever,
the
stairs a few weeks ago at your birthday. So
that's age. That's the athleticism has left my body.
Let me get to a few more before we take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Ashton in Sheboygan saying, I threw out my back putting my daughter down for a nap. I bulged a disc. Yikes. Let's see. I broke my middle finger trying to do the crab walk in sixth grade gym class. That from James in the 608. Oh, that's brutal. You're not getting any girlfriends that way.
The middle finger?
It says the middle finger, yeah. It's kind of cool. Is that what you're going to say? Yeah. Of all the fingers to break, I suppose. I broke my foot after hitting a walk-off home run in softball. My buddy, who's pushing 300, came down on my foot with his cleats while we were celebrating.
That's tough.
Yeah, because again, highest of highs and whatnot. Yes. Right?
And like you think of, that leads you down the Martin Gramatica pathway where he injured himself celebrating a field goal.
Number one, if you're wearing cleats to play softball, you got an issue. All right. Let it go.
Jim Harbaugh wears cleats to coach football. I feel like there's a few of those out there. Keep getting us your reaction. Keep getting us your stories. Joshy tore his calf this weekend playing wiffle ball in basically what was supposed to be just a fun game. Got a little too competitive. We're trying to make him feel better by saying you are not alone. More Jen, Gabe, and Chewy after this.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
TBD.
No, not how this
Attaboy.
Works. That's not how any of this
That's
works.
That's how you make content.
What do you mean? What do you mean? That's how it works for him.
What's TBD mean?
To be determined.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
To be dumb.
Did you hear him say to be dumb?
To be dumb. Did Joshy say that?
He did.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Potawatomi Sportsbook is going through some state-of-the-art upgrades, so for the time being, you can find the temporary sportsbook outside of the marketplace on the casino's first level. The all-new sportsbook, mark your calendars, everybody, opens the first week in May. Are you ready to spark something new? You can light up your senses at Potawatomi Casino Hotel. Explore more at paysbig.com. That's paysbig.com. I think we were able to talk ourselves into the possibility that the Packers would not, in fact, do what we know that they are now going to do, which is move on from Devondre Campbell. I think we were able to convince ourselves, given the depth at that position, that maybe, just maybe, they would figure out a way to keep him on, have a little bit of depth there. Not the case. It was announced yesterday that he on the league new year on Wednesday, they will in fact cut Devondre Campbell. Surprised you?
No. And he probably would have had a chance to come back if he didn't run his mouth during the middle of the season with I'm not playing unless I'm 100%. Once he did that, he kind of sealed his own fate.
And the wife also, I'm not blaming her for it, but her saying can't wait till this season is over was not a good look either.
No. And he's still got, you know, he's not worth the money they would pay him, but he probably could have came in as a backup, made a couple million dollars. But once he did that, teams don't want. I think LaFleur is refreshed now that he doesn't have to deal with Aaron, and he does. He's kind of nipped it in the bud. Like, well, I guess that's not totally true because Jair kind of went south on him.
But they had the meeting afterward.
They did.
It seemed like that went well.
But no, it's fine. But it is getting a little concerning because I think this is going to be another area that they're going to have to deal with in free agency, and I'm not talking a high market guy, but you need bodies at that position. And with the draft, I mean, I was thinking about this. I could seriously see them trading, packaging maybe a two with the one to trade up to get a stud linebacker.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, you look at San Francisco and what they do. That would not surprise me at all, but I think they need a veteran there, a Halfley veteran who's been in the system to maybe start the season and let a player, if they do that, develop.
I like the idea that you were mentioning about Matt LaFleur kind of being in this power position now, right? Because he always had to kind of take a back seat to Aaron Rodgers, who was the elder statesman who had been around long enough and who obviously was at the most important position on the field. And then David Bakhtiari was kind of his little buddy, and it seems like all signs are pointing to they're going to move on from him, although it is a little surprising that that hasn't happened yet. I don't know why there hasn't been more. If it's leaking out that Devondre Campbell is being cut, I'm a little surprised we haven't heard what their plans are with David Bakhtiari. You mentioned the Jair Alexander thing. If you're bringing in a bunch of new guys at that position especially, you don't want somebody toxic in the room. You don't want somebody who can even in a minuscule way, infect new guys, new blood, with this idea of I'm only playing when it works for me and I don't like how things went down and you don't want any of that. So I think part of what you're saying, Chu, is right, that like just cut your losses.
And I think Jair was one of those guys where LaFleur brought him in and said, we're not doing that anymore. The Aaron Rodgers, David Bakhtiari flexing their muscles, that ship has sailed. So you're either going to do it our way here or you're not going to be here. And I think Jair probably came around to it.
When it comes to the linebacker position, doesn't it feel like since they feel good about Quay Walker, Jason told us they really like McDuffie. It feels like this is kind of the place to bring in a veteran to help them out, like a guy who's played the 4-3, because neither of those guys at the NFL level have played it.
Good point.
So like, you know, a guy who's 32, like an Eric Kendricks or like a Levante David, well, they're not in their prime certainly and probably need to be phased out. Like if one of those guys sits on the market, that seems like the perfect spot for them because you can bring them along and then obviously just draft one of the young guys and then kind of have your rotation figured out there.
Gee, I would think a linebacker like Quay Walker would like the 4-3 more than the 3-4, right? Because if you have a D lineman that can sustain double teams and it keeps that lineman on that D lineman longer instead of coming off onto the linebacker, it allows them to run. That's what they do in San Francisco. You know, they let those linebackers there just flat out run, just run. And
you
I think that's what
it.
They're, and I think that's what they're trying to get to. My question is, I don't know if they have the D line yet in order to do that for these linebackers.
So it sounds to me, Joshy, like you are saying your preference is to go out and get a free agent linebacker as opposed to exclusively bolstering that position in the draft.
Yeah, I think they need veteran help there, especially with the move over, the new defense. Like, I just think it makes it a lot easier. And, I mean, we talked about it. Jason talks about this team needs veterans. So if there's a guy there that can kind of, like, if Quay Walker is going to learn from somebody, you'd want it to be a guy who's done it.
I think it makes a lot of sense. Let's put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll as well. Given the Devondre Campbell situation and the transition of the defensive scheme, should the Packers address their linebacker concerns in free agency? Yes or no? We'll put that up there. You can weigh in on that. More Jen, Gabe, and Chewy rolling on right after this.